Hello, everybody. Hi. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text, 312-981-7200. It's Monday. That means my dad is going to call in and tell a jokey time. And it's brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. I'll be visiting the Gale Street Inn this coming weekend. My father's birthday is Friday. September 1st. That's Friday, right? September 1st? Friday. Yeah. Yeah. That's my dad's birthday. He'll be 76 years young. So there you go. So we will be celebrating it at the Gale Street Inn then over the weekend for my dad's birthday, which is the best place to go. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And Dan, this article was in what website?
Thrillist.
Oh, it's from Thrillist. It's the most important chain restaurants that changed America. And they kind of go all over the place, too, for this, you know, because, I mean, it's not just fast food places
right
that are on here as well.
There's a historical significance to each of these.
That's right. And so the most important chain restaurants that changed America. The first one on the list is White Castle. By the way, White Castle featured in the movie Good Time. They make a little late night stop to the White Castle. Boy, oh boy. All right, so the White Castle founded in 1921. And there are 385 locations. There's only 385 White Castle locations? Wow.
Because they're not on the West Coast.
Yeah. That's interesting. Do you think the people, when the Harold and Kumar movie came out, were there a large portion of the people who were like, what is that?
They have them frozen.
You can get them nationwide frozen.
In the freezer aisle. Yeah. But yeah, they don't get fresh ones.
No. I mean, I've purchased the frozen ones. They're not bad. Throw them in the microwave.
Yeah, but you know.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
No, I know. But I don't, you know, I mean, it's, you know, there's not a White Castle near where it's not very far from where I live. Dan, the one at Kedzie and Addison's not very far from where I live.
Yeah.
But I don't have a car.
It'd be a tough walk.
You know there are public transit.
Yeah.
Buses.
I understand that, but I'd rather go through. I enjoy the drive-through experience of the White Castle rather than sitting inside the White Castle.
You don't like sitting in the castle?
Not really. Although I've done it.
Are you just anti-castle in
general? No, I like castles. Sure.
When you guys were in Ireland, you're like, there's a castle on this tour. I refuse to go
in. I'm not going in. No. And I happen to like that show with Aaron Fillion or whatever his name is. Nathan Fillion, right? Nathan Fillion, right?
Yes.
White Castle was born a few years after World War I ended, nearly two decades before McDonald's came to be. This explains why White Castle is often cited as the starting point when looking for the birth of fast food. Though it may be difficult to believe now, the humble hamburger was still fighting for legitimacy back then. At the time, self-respecting moms would not feed their children hamburgers, White Castle Vice President Jamie Richardson says. Upton Sinclair had written The Jungle, and it wasn't a flattering picture of the meatpacking industry. No, it wasn't. Have you ever read that book, Dan?
No, I haven't.
No, Esmeralda, have you read The Jungle?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. White Castle fought this perception with an emphasis on cleanliness, gleaming uniforms, polished porcelain and stainless steel surfaces, and tiny beef burgers being ground and steamed on a bed of onions in full view of the customers. Oh, and it didn't hurt that the burgers were sold for a mere nickel, a solid value back then. The cardboard containers were a low price point, which helped White Castle pioneer the practice of carryout, according to Richardson, noting that buy 'em by the sack slogan. It was prominent in the company's marketing for decades. White Castle is still owned by the descendants of Billy Ingram, who established the brand in Wichita, Kansas, and the chain's relatively modest number of locations hasn't slowed down its cultural influence. There's a reason why Harold and Kumar would settle for nothing less. Lots of history behind the White Castle, and they all still look exactly the same. That stainless steel look. I mean, no other fast food place looks like that. I mean, it does have like a cafeteria feel to it when you come in. Doesn't it feel like a school cafeteria when you go into a White Castle?
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Have you seen the newest thing, the waffles?
Yes. Yes. My parents reviewed them, by the way.
Oh, what did they think?
They liked them. They got the, they didn't do the Nutella. They did the savory one. They did like the chicken ones, the two chicken ones, I guess. They liked them. They said they were enjoyable. But yeah, I mean, they, you know, they've got so many crazy items now at the White Castle. Yeah, I haven't had a White Castle in a long. Well, there's a reason why, because I can't eat them anymore. Maybe since I stopped drinking, maybe the effect will be different. I'm trying to justify.
The last time I had White Castle, which was maybe a month or two ago,
yeah,
I got the gnarliest heartburn.
Oh yeah,
like 10 minutes after.
Yeah,
it was. I thought I was dying.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. I just can't do it anymore, man. I used to be able to when I was younger, man. I could knock down a bunch of White Castles and get up the next day and be fine.
No, ditto. So I think, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a sign I'm getting older.
It is a sign I'm getting older. Good Lord. All right. We have to break here. We got more of the most important chain restaurants that changed America. In 13 seconds is the news. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Monday morning, everybody. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. We're back to work week here. It's Monday. And Monday morning means my dad will call in and tell a joke, sponsored by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. And we'll get to that a little bit later on. But right now we are talking about the most important chain restaurants that changed America. We just talked about the lovely White Castle. Yeah. And Ben just came in, our engineer Ben, who grew up around the same neighborhood that I did, the Wrigleyville area, asked me if I remembered King Castle. You know, Dan, where the Einstein Bagel across from Nisei Lounge on Sheffield is?
Okay, yeah.
That used to be King Castle. And it was kind of a White Castle knockoff. And they had the little burgers and stuff like that, too.
Wow.
Yeah. That's exactly where it was, is it Einstein Bagel still there? Because I haven't been in that neighborhood in a while.
Yeah, I haven't ventured that far.
Yeah. Esmeralda, is it still there? Do you know?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, everything in that neighborhood is so different now. Like, I mean, it's so radically different by Wrigley Field. Just in the past couple of years, I mean, it's just been completely changed. So, but yeah, that used to be King Castle. Imagine, Esmeralda, a knockoff of White Castle.
I could believe that.
Yeah. And then there was another one, too, that's like White Castle, but it, like, they had a version of White Castle, but it wasn't called White Castle. And those are the little burgers that are on the West Coast. And it's a different chain. It's called something else.
Castle? No, no.
I don't think there's a castle in the name.
Yeah. Because we've talked about it in the past.
Yeah. Maybe somebody knows. Somebody might know. All right. Next on the list, obviously, is McDonald's, founded in 1940. There are over 36,000 plus locations. That's a little bit more than White Castle. Talking about McDonald's having influence over the way America eats is like talking about the sun having an influence over the way Americans see. After all, every restaurant has its origin story. Not every restaurant becomes so ubiquitous that the said story merits a movie starring Michael Keaton. Have you seen The Founder? Dan, have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't had a chance to.
Esmeralda, have you seen that one yet?
I have not.
Okay. I didn't know that Ray Kroc was a jerk. I wasn't aware that until I saw the movie, I didn't realize he was a jerk. Subway might have passed McDonald's a few years back in terms of number of international locations, but McDonald's remains the behemoth that immediately comes to mind when you think of global fast food powerhouses. With a tremendous influence naturally comes debate over the nature of that influence, so it's natural that McDonald's becomes a flashpoint when it comes to topics ranging from childhood obesity to automation, to both of which require much discussion. Still, the fact that McDonald's inevitably finds itself central to such discussions is a testament to its unshakable position as the alpha of the American fast food. That first Happy Meal is still a rite of childhood. That first Big Mac is still a rite later childhood. The Golden Arches are still welcome. It's a welcome beacon from a long drive. None of that is likely to change anytime soon. Do we know when Happy Meals began? Because they weren't around when I was a kid. There were no Happy Meals when I was a kid. So I want to say that the Happy Meals may be the late 70s started. Because, when I was a kid, there were no... Did you get Happy Meals when you guys were kids? Yeah, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I still have in my backyard, they did an environmental week or environmental month, you know.
At McDonald's?
At McDonald's, promoting recycling and things like that.
Yeah.
And they put a little pine tree sprout in it. And my brother planted it, and it's still alive to this day. It's like 4 feet tall
You're
in my
kidding.
Parents' backyard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I just have a plastic Fraggle Rock toy.
Have you tried planting the Fraggle Rock toy?
No, it is a carrot.
It's a carrot.
It's a little carrot
little
car.
Little Fraggle Rock carrot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have Happy Meals when I was a kid. We were just happy to get a burger. You know what I mean? We were just like, oh, that was the exciting thing. You can get a paper hat. They would give you like a paper, here, put on this hat. I don't know. But yeah, McDonald's, 36,000 locations. And again, I haven't been to a McDonald's in a really, really long time. I mean, years. It's been years since I've eaten McDonald's. And again, I have a McDonald's not very far from my apartment. But I just don't, I don't know. When I was working, when I was eating McDonald's regularly was when I was still doing my Saturday evening show here at the station. And there was at McDonald's across the street in the Wrigley Building area. That was the last time that I would kind of regularly eat McDonald's. Here's Jim on WGN. Hey, Jim.
Hi. Yeah, Happy Meals were in the 70s, but they hit the big time in the 90s with the Beanie Baby craze.
Yeah.
We had collectors buying 30, 40 Happy Meals at a time when the rumor was a new Beanie Baby was out.
Yeah, I remember craze. when that was a thing. Yeah. I mean, I worked at McDonald's in the early 80s, and I remember we did have Happy Meals then, obviously. But yeah, the Beanie Baby thing was huge, really huge. Yeah. So all right.
You know, there's still people trying to put their sets on eBay and such.
Yeah, there's
like
still.
Really
I know.
Valuable.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. All right. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, so late 70s, I think, would be the origin of the Happy Meal. All right. Next on the list is KFC, and Esmeralda has never had KFC.
Mm-mm.
It's so crazy that you've never had KFC.
Well. Because at home in Joliet, we always ate White Fence Farm.
Yeah.
And then I eat Popeyes now.
Yeah.
So I don't stray. And there's not really that many KFCs, honestly.
There aren't as many as...
There's more Popeyes.
Yes, there are. There are definitely more Popeyes than KFC. I'm trying to think of the closest KFC to my... I can't even think of a KFC near where I live.
And then also, I think if there wasn't Popeyes, there was a Brown's chicken.
Yeah. Dan, do you know the closest? What would be the closest?
I think it's the infamous no lettuce one at Irving in California.
Oh, that's right, Irving in California. That's the Taco Bell / KFC combo where they ran out of taco shells and lettuce.
There's one over at on Diversey.
Okay.
And Clark.
Clark and oh yeah 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 yeah
or
yeah.
No, it's a little
it's,
bit.
It's further west than that.
Halsted and Diversey.
Yeah, Halsted and Diversey. Right. But there used to be, when I lived in Andersonville, there was a KFC right next to the Jewels on Ashland. And, that's where I got my famous bowl. And that's where the old man was just an old man trying to get some wedges. That was in that KFC. There are 19,950 plus locations of KFC. So I would be interested to see. Popeyes did not make this list, but I would be interested to see how many locations of Popeyes there were compared to KFC. So, all right, we got a break here. We got weather and traffic. Welcome back. All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. It's Monday morning. That means my dad will tell a joke. And it's sponsored by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. We are talking about the most important chain restaurants that changed America. And we're at KFC right now. Texters have been saying that the White Castle-like restaurant is Crystals. Crystals with a K.
Oh, isn't that in the South? And it's they got a hot sauce or something, too.
Do they?
I think so.
And then, wow, I find this kind of weird. Listen to this, Esmeralda. KFC, as I mentioned, 19,950-plus locations. Popeyes only has 2,600 locations.
Hmm.
Okay. I mean, KFC is probably available in more cities across the country than Popeyes, I would guess. 37 years since he went to the big chicken shack in the sky, Colonel Harlan Sanders is more present than ever, taking the form of various comedians and television spots, lording over a crazy new virtual reality training program, and even emblazoned on the head of obscure guitar legend Buckethead. Buckethead? He's not obscure. Everybody knows who Buckethead is. You guys all know who Buckethead is, right?
Sure.
I mean, we do.
Yeah. He's the guitarist who wears a KFC bucket on his head. What else do you want in life?
Was he in a band?
Oh, yeah.
Was it just him?
He was in the Guns N' Roses reboot.
He was in a couple of bands, but he's mostly, I guess, known for his fantastic solo work as Buckethead.
Has he been revealed?
Yeah, no, I mean, he doesn't appear in public without the bucket on his head. And it's just, it's like a giant amount of hair and a bucket on his head. And a hat. Doesn't he wear a hat on top of the bucket?
I don't think so.
No.
You know, to showcase the bucket. But he wears a mask.
Yeah, he wears like that white mask, and he's got the bucket on his head.
So that's his hat.
His bucket head.
Is it one day going to be like when Kiss revealed themselves?
Yeah.
It's going to be frightening. It's like, put the bucket back on, man.
Yeah. God, I remember when Kiss unveiled their faces. They made a big deal out of it on MTV. And it was J.J. Jackson, everybody. J.J. Jackson hosted the segment, man. And I didn't have cable at that time, but I remember seeing the footage. They showed it somewhere. And they showed, you know, like they all had stuff covering their faces, and then they pulled the thing down, and you got to see their faces without makeup. And yes, the response was, put the makeup back on now.
I'm curious because Gene Simmons was at Wizard World.
Yes, he was.
And I'm wondering, was he with makeup?
No.
Ugh.
No.
What for? Because he was, you know, charging for pictures and all that.
Yeah, no, I saw pictures of people, you know, that posted online.
Oh, yuck.
And he was just Gene with his hair.
I would be so disappointed.
Yeah.
But please, put the makeup on. No one.
That would be extra money, I think. You'd have to pay extra for the picture with the makeup.
Ugh, there's already too much money.
Yeah. All right, how about this? The Waffle House. Founded in 1955, 1,881 locations. You can walk into almost any Waffle House and think you're in the only Waffle House. The food's the same at the other locations. The uniforms and seating arrangement are the same, but each Waffle House feels like a unique mom-and-pop operation, complete with its diehard regulars and staffers who give the small shoebox of the restaurant its soul. Just so happens that the mom-and-pop operation complete with mom and pop have expanded to nearly 2,000 locations, and in doing so managed to be a paragon of the American down home diner experience. Joe Rogers and Tom Forkner were the founders. They used to joke that they wanted to open up like 10 restaurants and just go fishing. We joked that we never did go fishing, Pat Warner said of the expansion. Over the decades, Waffle House has transformed into a pure distillation of Americana, a 24-hour oasis for families, blue-collar workers, white-collar professionals, and groggy post-bar crowds looking to soak up their sins with a pile of bacon or a fluffy waffle. Yeah, the Waffle House is pretty great. I don't know if you guys have ever... You guys ever been to a Waffle House?
I have not.
I have not either.
Oh, man, they're great. Yeah, they're really, really great. I've only been to one. I don't know why I'm saying they're great. I've only been to one right outside of Nashville.
Well, I guess that's the testament that you went to one and you're like, they're amazing.
Well, it was so good. I've been to it, you know, like I made my, because my ex-girlfriend that I was dating, her family lives in Franklin where Spike lives. Spike Odell, Franklin, Tennessee. And we went down there a couple of times to visit them while we were dating, while she and I were dating. And I made her take me to the Waffle House like every time. I was like, we have to go to the Waffle House again. Now, she grew up, you know, she was part of that. She lived there for a while. So it's, Waffle House is not a big deal to her. But I'm like, you got it now. I want to go back to the Waffle House right now. Like the next day after the first time I went, I was like, let's go to the Waffle House right now.
I mean, there's a lot to try, I'm sure.
Yeah. I think it's great, man. Okay, Domino's is next on the list. Founded in 1960, 14,200 plus locations. Mm. The little pizza sign on top of the delivery car, the crush-proof cardboard box, the online pizza tracker. Domino's didn't set out to change the way the world ate when it opened up its first shop in Eastern Michigan University campus in 1960. They just wanted to deliver pizzas to their captive audiences of hungry college kids. But in perfecting the inexpensive crowd-pleasing pies and delivering them to people's doorsteps to change, more or less define what people around the world imagine and what they think of pizza night. We single-handedly created an expectation when you order your food from any restaurant from this point forward, you expect to get your food in 30 minutes or less. Tim McIntyre, Domino's VP of Communications. He's a 32-year veteran of the company. Now over 14,000 pizza shops around the globe. Domino's is continuing to grow. Yeah. When was the last time you had Domino's pizza? Seriously. Dan?
It wasn't too long ago. It was, it was somebody had a get-together, and it was just a quick order, and
right.
like 10 pizzas came in, and it was fine.
Yeah. Esmeralda, you remember the last time you had Domino's?
Oh, maybe college. Because they would come to the dorms mm-hmm. and just stand out there and be like, we can give you a pizza
oh,
for like
sure. yeah.
$5.
Yeah. Well, that's one of I can't tell you the last time I had Domino's pizza. Honest to God, I can't even, I couldn't even speculate the last time I had Domino's pizza. It's got to be at least 15 years, at least. It's like having Little Caesars pizza. And I used to eat Little Caesars pizza pretty regularly because there was a Little Caesars right around the corner from where we did our shows at the Factory on Elston, the Factory Theater.
Oh, yeah, still there.
Yeah.
$5
pizzas that are ready. Yeah. You walk in, and you can. And so we would feed our crews when we were building sets and painting sets and stuff and at the theater all night. We ate. I mean, we lived on that stuff. Even though the Mexican place next door is 9,000 times better.
And the White Castle was just across the way.
White Castle's right across the street, and there's a Jewel's there, so you can get your broasted chicken. And Chief O'Neill's. Great food at Chief O'Neill. A lot of good food around that area. So, yeah. Oh, boy. Taco Bell next. Founded in 1962, 7,000 plus locations. Well, I thought there were more than that. Stunt foods are a big deal, but not all are created equal, as no fast food chain has managed to leverage its innovations into part of its identity successfully or as deliciously as Taco Bell. This is, after all, a company that has unleashed upon the world the wonders of taco with fried chicken for shells, the grilled stuffed nacho, the enchirito, the Mexican pizza, the biscuit taco, and the Doritos Loco taco. Some work, some go the way of the Bell beefer. The only thing that sets Taco Bell apart from offering them a fourth meal is the way that their new innovations send ripples through the food world and instantly develop rapid followings. So there you go. They call it stunt food, Esmeralda. It's certainly not Mexican food, but it's good. I like Taco Bell. Going to Taco Bell with $5, you can eat for 3 weeks. So. Okay, we got a break. We got the news coming up, and then we got more of the important restaurants that have changed America. That's all coming up right here on 720 WGN. And my dad's going to tell a joke in a few minutes. Alrighty then. Yeah, man. Hi. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. How's everybody doing? I'm your overnight dude, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. Every weekday morning, and we're here till 5. Steve Grzanich is coming up with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke in a few minutes, brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. We love you, George. So there you go. We got a text here. Greg says, I love the Waffle House. When my family and I went south, we'd eat there for three straight days. Also, Church's Chicken doesn't have as many Chicagoland locations, but it's good. I remember Church's. I want to say that there is a, is it Brown's? Or is it a Church's at Lawrence and Central?
It was a Brown's.
It was Brown's, right?
Yeah, and then they recently closed down.
Oh, it's closed down now?
Yeah.
Okay.
They combined with something called the Chicago Way.
Right.
So that lasted for a little while, and then
they had like beefs and Italian Chicago, sausage and stuff like that.
Chicago style hot dogs.
Yeah, and it was the Portillo's guys, right? Wasn't one of the guys one of the other Portillo? Not the.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's another Portillo. It's not the guy who runs the Portillo's. You know. Chain. I used to have one of those over when I lived in Andersonville. There was one on Broadway near Foster. It was a combination Brown's that. Where are there any more Churches anymore? Church's Chicken?
I think I've seen them.
Yeah.
I feel like I have.
Yeah. Church's was good too. Church's was pretty good chicken. All right, next on here, Esmeralda, have you ever been to a Benihana?
Yes.
So much fun. It's ridiculous. Dan, you ever been to a Benihana?
I have not.
66 locations, founded in 1964. There are only 66 locations. It's not like there's a million of them. But they're on the list because they really sort of revolutionized showmanship in, you know.
I mean, they're in so many, not so many movies, but they, you know. Immediately see the when they're, you know,
flinging
in a movie, and I'm like, Benihana.
Benihana, of course. They're flinging the shrimp around and standing right at the grill.
The onion volcano.
The onion volcano, absolutely. Fantastic. Also, that's where those very funny sketches that Jonah Hill, when Jonah Hill hosts Saturday Night Live, and he plays the 7-year-old kid. You ever see those?
No.
They all take place in Benihana.
Oh.
All of them. Or he's 11 or something. I can't remember how old he is. You know what I'm talking about, Dan?
No, I hadn't seen him.
Oh, it's really funny. It's like every time Jonah Hill hosts SNL, they bring this it's one of his recurring characters. You know how certain guest hosts of Saturday Night Live get their own recurring characters? And that's his. And he's like a 9-year-old kid or something, but he's really a smartass. And his I'm trying to remember who his, I don't know if it's his dad is was, I'm trying to remember who played his dad. But he was a single dad. He was trying to pick up chicks or something, and they were at a Benihana, and and it was always. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Fred Armisen always played the guy on the grill. Because whenever you need any kind of ethnicity, just put Fred Armisen in there. So, all right, here's one of my favorite places. I love Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. I love it. Founded in 1965, 147 locations. How many are in the Chicago area? I know the one down here on Illinois, more Hubbard. There's that one. I think there's one in the suburbs. I think there's at least two in the city. But Ruth's Chris, they perfected the art of taking fine dining to the franchise next level in a way that few others have matched. After all, there's no Peter Luger in Orlando yet. Ruth's usually manages to command the respect of a local favorite as it spreads its influence. It's eclipsed competitors like Morton's, paved the way for the McCormick and Schmick of the world, and it's a go-to date night for special nights. Ruth's Chris feels like its own thing. The buttered kissed steak, the sizzling plates, they bring it out. The steak finishes cooking on the plate when they bring it out at Ruth's Chris, because they bring it out. It's fantastic. Can't touch the plate, you'll scald your hand. It would be like that other Great. SNL sketch. That other SNL sketch where they touch the plate and their hands all start melting. You guys remember that sketch?
No.
Because the plates are completely like on fire at one point. They burn a hole through the table. This is a really great sketch. I think Will Ferrell wrote it, which makes sense because it contains people's hands melting while touching a plate. That sounds like something Will Ferrell would write.
By the way, Esmeralda, part of the reason why this is all top of mind for Nick is that we did an SNL topic when you were out.
Oh, yeah.
It's not because he watches all of them?
Yeah. I mean, I watched the rerun with Aziz Ansari over the weekend. Very solid episode. And a nice showcase for Melissa Villaseñor. She did a very nice show. There was a great scene that she did with Aziz Ansari. She's great, Melissa Villaseñor. Yeah, but I love Ruth. I love Ruth's Chris. Ruth's Chris brought an intimate fine dining experience to places that had long settled for sizzler over a plate that literally sizzles. Because it literally sizzles. Every time I go into the one, and it's not like I go to Ruth's Chris all the time, you know, like I go to a steakhouse every night and eat. But I've been to that one several times. It's my favorite.
Is it walking distance?
No, it's from here it is. From here, yes. But I go there, and as soon as you walk in and smell the place, it's like, it's just like a meat museum. It's just fantastic, and it's all butter and meat and salt.
That does not sound like a bad Mm-mm. night.
No. Have you never been to Ruth's Chris?
No.
It's good.
No.
It's a real good. Dan, have you been to Ruth's Chris?
I have.
It's good, huh?
It is very good.
Tasty meat. That's all you need in life is tasty meat. Oh, by the way, Esmeralda, you missed Straight Out of Context Friday.
Uh-huh. There's some good ones.
And I think that, you missed some good Lou. Right, Dan?
I'll
mean,
have to check it out. Yeah.
Some quality Lou.
I'll have to listen to
like
the
three or four really good Lous.
Right.
But Vic submitted one of me talking to you.
Oh, okay.
And I was asking about your Whole 30 diet.
I think I remember. Was it the one where we started laughing? It was like towards the end of the show.
No, we got that one. That one was in there too. That was like when you were something about blanking monkeys or something like
ape
that.
Ape things.
Yeah. You were blanking ape things. That's right. That showed up. But this one, which proves what a filthy mind Vic has.
Yeah.
Because my question to you was, how is your Whole 30 diet going?
Uh-huh.
And Vic thought it would be appropriate to diet going. Do you know what I'm saying now?
Right. Yeah. So wait, Dan, in the email, was it like cut it off right here?
Yep.
Just from here to here.
I will say a listener also submitted
it. A listener submitted it, yeah.
So whatever, he and Vic are. But when Vic sent me the email, he did say, I feel yucky just writing this,
It was yucky. I got to tell you, it was yucky, Esmeralda. Like, I heard it back and I went, oh!
Cool, I'll have to listen to it.
Yeah. So I just wanted to mention that.
Awesome.
So you were represented.
Me and V will listen to it.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll enjoy it. It'll make your day. All right. Couple more restaurants that we'll get to in a couple of seconds here. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke. And if you want to jump in, comments, 312-981-7200 is the phone number.
Ooh, it's the best part of the week, baby. It's time to hear something funny. Here we go with your music intro. Ah!
It's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. It's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. Nick's dad tells a joke.
What'd
I say?
It's a
jokey, jokey, jokey
time. It's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. Nick's dad tells a joke. Oh, yes! Here we go!
Yeah, man. It's Monday morning, and every week my dad, Nick, calls in and tells a joke. And we are lucky enough for it to be sponsored by the Gale Street Inn, which is the greatest restaurant on the planet. And I love everybody over at Gale Street. George Karzis is my main man. Tell him I sent you. Say hi to George. I'll see him this weekend. My dad's birthday is this weekend.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, he's going to be 76 on Friday.
Oh.
So we'll probably go to dinner on Saturday and celebrate at the Gale Street Inn, who sponsors this segment. And let's welcome my dad to the show. Hey, Dad.
Hey, Nick.
How are you, man?
How are you?
I'm good. How's Ma?
Doing good.
Good. All right, you got a joke?
Got a joke. We got two Kentucky Fried Chicken buyouts, one on Addison and Cicero, one on Harlem and Irving.
That's right. I forgot about the one on Addison and Cicero.
And then the other place
that's not far from where
you
I live.
Thinking of was Wimpy's. Remember the hamburger?
Wimpy's. Yeah, Wimpy's, named after the guy from the Popeye cartoons.
There you go.
Yeah, and we don't. You know the great thing about going to Wimpy's, Dad? You never had to pay until Tuesday.
Oh, boy.
That wasn't the joke that George sponsored. I just want to make that clear. All right, Dad, go ahead.
The police recruit was asked during his exam, what would you do if you had to arrest your wife? He said, I would call for backup.
All right.
Oh, man. All right, Dad. That's a good one.
Nick.
See you later.
Okay, bye.
There you go. There's my dad telling a joke. He has a lot of wife jokes, my dad does. I need to talk to my mom a little bit.
You know, experience.
Yeah, I know. I just like my mom probably just sitting on the couch going, oh, God, another wife joke.
Maybe she should tell a husband joke.
Yeah. My mom's not real good at telling jokes.
No.
She's not. She's
write it down.
She's awesome, but she's not. My mom's not real good at telling jokes.
Just write it down.
You know, it's funny because my mom had, you know, when I was living at home, it was just me and my dad and her.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you the number of times when my dad and I would just like look at her and she'd be on the couch going, why am I, what am I,
oh, no.
What am I doing here?
What did I get myself into? Because we get,
it's two idiots. It's me and my dad. Hey! Acting like morons. And then my mom just shaking her head going, I just eat something.
That was jokey, jokey, jokey time. It was a jokey, jokey, jokey time. Nick's dad told a joke.
Yes, he did, and he'll do it again next Monday. All right, let's get back to these restaurant things here. Okay. TGI Fridays is next.
Oh.
Founded in 1965. Wow. It's my age. 992 locations. Do you know what movie has a significant amount of scenes in a TGI Fridays?
Mm-mm.
Horrible Bosses. Do you remember?
I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah.
It's Horrible Bosses. It's like they go to TGI Fridays.
They
like
love their Fridays.
Four or five times during the course of the movie.
I enjoy those restaurants.
Which do you, I mean, like in general, like
TGI
the Chili's
Friday.
And the,
yeah.
I like Chili's a lot. Chili's I really like.
Yeah.
TGI Friday. What's the one with the Bloomin' Onion? That's Outback.
Yes. You know,
yeah, it's an Outback Steakhouse, right?
Or Chili's?
No. Bloomin' Onion is Outback. Because it's Australian. It's Bloomin' Onion.
Right. Chili's had the baby back ribs.
Chili's had the baby back.
I want my baby back.
Yeah. And the fajitas. They had good fajitas at the Chili's.
Okay.
Sizzling fajitas.
The plate. You like things that sizzle.
Oh, man. Are you kidding me?
You're a big fan of the noise.
I enjoy the sizzling and the smell.
Huge fan of the sizzler.
Sizzler. We're going to sizzler. Going to sizzler. You ever see White Men Can't Jump?
Yes.
One of the greatest moments in cinema history. Oh. Going to sizzler. It was Kadeem Hardinson, right?
Yes.
And then maybe Burning Your Hands.
Sure.
That also a...
Yeah.
The thrill of it all.
Starbucks is on here. How many locations do you think now are Starbucks?
Oh, my gosh. In the U.S.?
I would guess U.S. Yeah, no, this is about changing America. So
I'm
going to
say 100,000.
Oh, no, it's too much.
Oh, okay.
It's 24,500.
It feels like 100,000.
It feels like there's 24,000 on Michigan Avenue right out here. Because you could literally stand in the Michigan, or stand
you
in this.
You could do a Starbucks crawl.
You can. Like, you can stand in the one on this side of the street
mm-hmm.
and look at the one across the street. You could be drinking a Starbucks.
That Best in Show.
And so, Starbucks, California Pizza Kitchen, there's only 300 locations of California Pizza Kitchen.
Really? Do they count the airport ones?
I don't know.
Because every airport I've been to, there's always a CPK.
And, of course, Chipotle.
Oh, boy.
2,300 locations. They were founded in 1993.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd never seen one until I got to college. At least in Chicago. I'd never heard
it was
of it.
In the I remember late 90s.
Oh, okay.
Seeing Chipotle. Maybe not in Chicago. I think it might have been some other place.
Right.
And then finally, Shake Shack. 137 locations. Have you been to the one down?
Yeah.
It's good, man.
It's very good, yeah.
It's good. Dan, have you been to the Shake Shack over there by the movie theater?
I have not.
It's a tiny burger. But it's so good.
It's very good.
It's filling for being small.
It's one of those things where you kind of, you know, like, you know, sometimes it's like there's a hype about it. And there's mm-hmm. a lot of hype about Shake Shack.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's disappointing. Like Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Which is a subpar chicken sandwich.
It is.
That people just, for some reason, have gone completely insane. I waited in line because people kept saying, when the one over here on, like, Rush
mm-hmm.
opened up, when it first opened up, I'm like, okay, I got to go because everybody, Chick-fil-A is the greatest. Oh my God, they're opening up a Chick-fil-A. So I wait in line and I get the regular chicken sandwich. Everybody just get the regular chicken sandwich, the pickle.
No. There's no mayo.
No, you got to get mayo on the side. No. But everybody's like, you don't need it. It's so good, you don't need it.
No, I had it on the East Coast some years back before it came here. And I was like,
no.
Stupid.
Very.
I didn't like it.
I know, I agree with you. Very disappointing.
I had Shake Shack in New York.
I had Shake Shack here.
I waited in a line. And I don't wait in lines.
Yeah.
And I waited. Yeah. And it was worth it.
You ever been to Kuma's?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to wait there.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Oh, man, no. Kuma's is good.
It's all topping.
Oh, Kuma's is good.
It's all good. Showy, flashy topping.
Anytime you can get a burger named after Black Sabbath, you get it.
Eh.
All right.